The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Germany is racing right now to rearm and modernize its military after decades of embracing pacifism after the Cold War. Help our viewers understand why Germany is rearming. We mentioned it's not just the Russia-Ukraine war, but also the U.S. pressuring them to spend more on defense.
Absolutely. I think the change in the administration and the transfer of power here in Washington can't be overstated. Of course, there's a threat from Russia, but we've seen that really since the full-scale invasion in 2022 and going back further, the impetus for the rapid changes being made, the rapid modernization and the kind of mind-boggling amount of spending on the military really begins this year. And it is the re-election of Donald Trump and the hostility not only to the government in Kyiv, but also to America's traditional allies in Europe. We're seeing a retreat from the traditional role that the U.S. has played, anchoring and defending the international system that it helped create after the Second World War. And we know how much this international system has aided and enabled Germany's rehabilitation back into a normal country after the crimes it committed. And with this transformation, this kind of dizzying transformation, Germany is rethinking its role in the world.
Scarred by their country's Nazi past, Germans embraced pacifism after the Cold War. Defense spending collapsed to the point some soldiers were buying their own gear. But Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, combined with persistent pressure from President Donald Trump for Europe to shoulder more of its own defense, transformed the landscape. Today, Germany is racing to rearm.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation, political, with one currency, one military force, one government.
They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves.
What they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire.
You watch it happen, my friends. Now that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Jesus gave us the expression of how it'll come when it is least expected. And like a rat getting caught in a trap that snaps when it didn't even know it until it was caught. And that's how suddenly things are going to happen. very, very soon. How much longer God will delay before he does that, I don't know. But there's every reason why I can sense that we're coming very, very close to that time. Europe is reuniting. And when it is reunited, our work will be finished. And that will lead fairly quickly into the second coming of Christ in the world tomorrow. So the world is at a crisis.
He was right. I mentioned that brochure yesterday on the show. The very first article that we have in that free brochure, by the way, you can call and request a free copy of He Was Right. Is a world dictator about to appear? I mean, the empire's there. Now they're racing to rearm. They just need the emperor. That's all that remains. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States at the website, thetrumpet.com, or the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Lots to get to on today's show, and prophecies just accelerating like never before. My son came on board a couple months ago. He's one of the news gatherers now, and he mentioned he couldn't remember this many articles on Germany and its rearmament just a couple months ago. And I was mentioning to him, I had dinner with my father on the Sabbath just a few days ago, and even since then, and I know we're just talking about news stories. I mean, the event has really accelerated these past couple months. But all of a sudden, everybody's commenting on it. And by the way, you're hearing a lot of the same language in every single article, which is a little annoying because they basically just echo the same talking points. They're racing to rearm. There you go. Well, they are. They are. And also, they've been pacifist. They've embraced pacifism. So now they're, you know, it's kind of like they're treating Germany like it's the underdog. It's always been a peace-loving nation, and they're just kind of reluctantly embracing this new militaristic attitude or approach. I mean, look at the history of just the past century. And then the other thing you see in every single article, they got to do it because of Putin and because of Trump, as if there's no other reason, as if Germany has never, ever, ever wanted to be militaristic and strong and conquer the world. No, they're just trying to defend against Putin. And, well, they can't trust Trump. Like I said yesterday, it's the perfect cover. Perfect. The world is embracing this. The world wants this. The Trump administration is applauding this. All the newscasters, the talking heads. And then you go back to what Herbert Armstrong was saying for decades and decades and decades. You heard it there in the cold open. He was right. This nation is prophesied to destroy many nations before it's all said and done, before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. You can read it in Isaiah 10. And nobody's going to be telling you about it. Nobody. As I was saying to the news gatherers this morning, I mean, really, it just makes everything else in the news cycle seem just absurd almost. I mean, even President Trump talking about, yeah, we've got all this evidence of the election steal in 2020. Well, there was a time when we were sounding the alarm on that constantly. I mean, it's a big story. It's in the past now, though. And furthermore, when you hear President Trump just talking about how he won and they did this and we did this in 2016, we did this in 2020, we did this in 2024, I mean, it just leaves God out of the picture. God allowed the steal in 2020, and yes, people should be held to account, but then God brought him back miraculously in 2024. One wonders what God must think about all of this, you know, self-congratulatory talk. But anyway, that's beside the point. Just the story cycle, and Hanukkah, Christmas, peace, unity. And then, you know, oh, we found out the Mar-a-Lago raid. the FBI really didn't have any justification to do it. So now we've got to get Jack Smith before a hearing, and on and on and on it goes. Meanwhile, Germany is rearming. In fact, they're racing to do it. You talk about the perfect cover to build a new war machine. I mean, Satan also is just covering up the news of it. I mean, I'm not wanting to contradict myself, because on the one hand, there are lots and lots and lots of stories about it. Suddenly, the rearmament, you know, the new war machine. But still, people just brush it aside. Well, that's great. Good for them. Good for Germany. Good for Europe. Good. There's finally a buffer now that'll hold Putin off. This article, this is in, September? September, just a few months ago. I mean, he was right in the case of Herbert Armstrong. And here you have Tomorrow's News Today. I just mentioned how just in the last few months, you've seen all these articles about Germany racing. Well, for the longest time, they embraced pacifism. Now they race for the new war machine. There you go. Just a change like that. I mean, and they have to. And there's no threat. There is no chance. Just be assured. There is no chance that history could ever repeat itself. That's another talking point that you see in all the articles. Okay, embrace pacifism. They're forced to do it. Putin, Trump. Now they're racing. And don't be alarmed. Arming for World War III. September issue of The Trumpet. My father says, Germany plots. He's actually quoting from a Reuters headline. Germany plots the future of warfare. And we've talked before about, you know, the suicide drones and all this new technology. In a lot of ways, we're entering into a new age of warfare. All the nuclear weapons are still there. They're going to be used. But when you add cyber attacks and you add drone technology, it's a game changer. And Germany's leading the way. That's the thing. My father says, those with a basic understanding of German military history should be frightened by such statements. That Reuters headline, he means. Germany is indeed reinventing the nature of warfare. And Bible prophecy reveals it will suddenly start World War III. You see why you need to subscribe to The Trumpet? Here this comes out in September. The article was probably prepared in August. And now look at where we are. Everybody and their dog is acknowledging that Germany's racing to build a new war machine. It's unbelievable. Tomorrow's News Today. You can call our operators right now and get a free one-year subscription. If you want to know tomorrow's headlines today, then become a Trumpet subscriber. There you see the article. Germany is arming for World War III. We wrote that several months ago. Before The Atlantic, before 60 Minutes, before The Times of Israel. I'll get to that in just a second. There's only a few that are even bringing up some of the troubling historical associations, but none of them are out there saying, what if this happens again? What happened in World War I and World War II? Nobody's even concerned. It says here, Revelation 17 prophesies of the rise of a military alliance of 10 kings leading 10 nations or groups of nations in Europe. We've gone through this already this week, in fact. This alliance will be dominated and led by Germany, biblical Assyria. Assyria had a history of starting many wars over and over again. I would love if I could just be, you know, someone that's working undercover inside Reuters or The Atlantic. I would love to just put these into some of the more talking points from the scriptures. Germany, which loves to start wars, is racing to rearm. I mean, that might change the tone of the article somewhat. That there's a truth bomb, a little bit of a reality check for your typical reader. That just said, oh, yeah, embraces pacifism. Well, now they need an army. What's the big deal? We've got a big army. Everybody's got a big army. If everybody is looking out for themselves, it's all going to work out fine in the end. It says here, Isaiah 10 shows that it will soon start another war, the most destructive war in history. Now, Isaiah 10 also brings out how that God is using that Assyrian war machine to correct the people of Israel, to correct the Israelite nations. That would be the United States and Britain, little Judah. This is Isaiah 10, verses 5 through 7. Read it. It says, right now we are witnessing, this is again, this is all from this issue of the Trumpet magazine, September, just a few months ago. Right now we're witnessing Germany begin its final preparations to start this war. Imagine if that was inserted into all these articles, that talking point. This is amazing. What we are now witnessing is the final preparations for World War III brought to you by Germany. Germany's great industrial power is being rapidly transformed for military purposes. We're seeing a remarkable shift, my father wrote. Germany's industrial powerhouse is becoming a military powerhouse, but the nation is not investing as much in old military technology as it is in the future of warfare. You see, cyber attacks, drone war, suicide drones. The technology landscape is changing and rapidly, and we're seeing a rapid transformation in the development of the new German war machine. It is new. I mean, the old Blitzkrieg spirit, it's still there. The old history of starting wars, loving to start wars, that's still there too. And now you've got a new war machine. How about that? He was right. God was right. The sure word of Bible prophecy is right. Germany's expertise in the new technologies is bringing potentially revolutionary change to the battlefield. This is a monumental shift in warfare, but it's not going to bring peace. It's going to bring war. Arming for war doesn't bring peace. I mean, there's something to be said for some deterrence. And that's been a policy in America and other Western nations for some time. But when a war machine builds a war machine, that's not a recipe for peace. Just the opposite. Listen to this from one EU leader. This is clip 11.
A divided Europe is the biggest gift you can give Putin and Trump. And this council is a moment of truth after the US national security strategy, where people are saying that this is a wake-up call for Europe. A wake-up call? The wake-up call was on the 14th of February, when G.D. Vance was exactly playing out what is now in the national security strategy. So this is not a wake-up call, though not the first time. We have been woken up. How many times do we need before Europe really wakes up? The US strategy is clear. It's the same like Putin's. It wants to divide Europe. It wants to weaken Europe. It is against our liberal democracies. We need to stand up and need to fight for a European sovereignty.
Yeah, there you go. Just some banter there in the EU Parliament. The US strategy, just like Putin's. So we've got no choice. You don't throw J.D. Vance in the mix as well. Putin, Trump, and Vance. There you go. We got to do it. Got to do it. They're both enemies. I mean, if you read between the lines, you're getting the talking point that matters most. The seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, viewing the United States not as an ally, not as a friend, but as an enemy, just like in World War II, just like in World War I, just like we've seen in the past century, recent history. But then you add to that, that Assyria, biblical Assyria, has a long history of starting many wars. That's the truth of the Bible. That's the truth of history books. And here we're going to see it play out again. The Wall Street Journal, after a generation of peace, Europe tells its people to prepare for war. What? I thought peace was breaking out everywhere. I've been told that peace is on the march. After a generation of peace, Europe tells its people to prepare for war. Listen to this clip from European Parliament, clip 12.
But we need to discuss our relation with the United States as well. Madam President, you said we need our own strategy. Well, since the February 14th, we only made ourselves more dependent of the United States. Yes, we put away our dependency of Russian gas, but we exchanged it for dependency of American gas. That is the wrong direction after the February 14th, and that needs to change. When is Europe finally going to learn? We need a strong, united, sovereign Europe.
A United States of Europe, maybe? Who coined that phrase? I mean, if he didn't coin it back in the 50s or 60s, he's the only one that was talking about it for decades. That would be Herbert W. Armstrong. We need a United States of Europe. Look, we've done so many good. I mean, we're no longer dependent on Putin's oil. Okay, right. Now we're too dependent on America. Putin and America are the enemies. I'm sorry that I don't know who this guy is, but he's someone in EU Parliament. There you go. But you hear what they're saying. And this is not uncommon. You see it in all the editorials, the columns, and so on coming out. Now that it's 60 Minutes report, everyone acknowledges they're racing toward the final stage of unification. The military will bring it all together. Well, after that, the emperor. It just needs the military might, and then finally the Daniel 8 man, the emperor, and the empire's there. Everything's in place. They'll all be of one mind, just like Revelation 17 says. European security officials now regularly broadcast a message nearly unimaginable a decade ago. Get ready for conflict with Russia. It's a convenient cover, a convenient excuse. We've got to do it. I mean, Russia's bogged down in 3 years of war. I mean, Russia's army's been decimated in many ways. And again, I'm not minimizing the significance of Putin as he factors into prophecy. He's the Prince of Rosh. He's gonna unite with the kings of the East, China, and many others. There's plenty of power there, for sure. But just looking at it on the surface, I mean, here Russia's having a hard time just taking over parts of Ukraine. But now we've got to arm, because Putin's coming after Europe next. Putin's coming after Germany next. So they're racing. It's a talking point in all of the pieces, all of the segments, all the news cycles, the shows. But again, 10 years ago, you couldn't have imagined this. Get ready for war. Rarely a week goes by now without a European government, military, or security chief making a grim speech warning the public that they are headed toward a potential war with Russia. It's a profound psychological shift for a continent that has rebuilt itself after two world wars, rebuilt itself, okay, after two world wars by trumpeting a message of harmony and joint economic prosperity. I mean, they embraced pacifism. No, actually, it was imposed on them. Because Western leaders coming out of World War II realized that we can't ever let Germany militarize itself again. We just can't, we cannot allow it. They have a history of starting wars. And so it was imposed upon them through NATO and other means. And now you get the narrative that, man, for 50, 60, 70 years, they've just been pacifist. They've just been peace-loving people. They've never engaged in conflict, or at least not since World War II. You get the narrative. It's a profound psychological shift, the Wall Street Journal says, for a continent. Well, I read that earlier. Listen to EU Commission President. I do know who this one is. Ursula von der Leyen, one of the great names of the EU Parliament. Clip 7.
This week's European Council is about facing the reality of the moment, the reality of a world that has become dangerous and transactional, a world of wars, a world of predators. The reality of this world means we Europeans must defend ourselves and we must depend on ourselves. We have been living in this world for some time, even before the biggest wake-up call of all, that was Russia's illegal invasion in Ukraine in February 2022. Yesterday's peace is gone. We have no time to indulge in nostalgia. What matters is how we confront today. We cannot afford to let the world views of others define us. None of us should be shocked by what others say about Europe. But let me say this. It would not be the first time that assumptions about Europe were shown to be outdated. It would not be the first realization that the post-war world order is changing beyond recognition.
It's over. I mean, it's collapsed. The post-World War II order, it's done. The U.S. is gone. So we've got to prepare for war. And we've got to be realistic. I hope someone from the Trump administration is listening to this. Because the Trump administration, they're out there saying, hey, we've made peace. We've stopped 8 wars. I actually heard President Trump the other day say, well, this other one over here in Southeast Asia is flaring up, so I'm going to have to get on the phone. I'm going to have to get on the phone and put an end to another war. Just compare that with what European leaders are saying. You just heard it right there. She said, a world of wars. That's what we're living in. A world of wars, a world full of predators. That's Ursula von der Leyen. Wait till the Daniel Ape Man shows up. This is rhetoric. This is pro-war preparation rhetoric coming from leaders before the Daniel Ape Man is even around. Well, he's around, but he just isn't in position yet. Yesterday's peace is gone, she said. You listen to the Jeroboam people, peace is everywhere. Peace is breaking out in Gaza, in everywhere except Ukraine. We just got to deal with, I've got to get on the phone to put an end to that one. And once that's over, I mean, it's worldwide peace, I guess. So Europe is preparing for war. And the United States, and never mind what the Jeroboam people say about how strong our military is and how much firepower we have. And we're not preparing for war. We're preparing for peace, quote unquote. And Europe is preparing for war. Russia's preparing for war. China's preparing for war. Do you see a pattern here? This is from the Wall Street Journal article. Military spending across the continent is rising. This year, NATO's European members agreed to increase traditional defense spending to 3.5% of their economies compared to 2%. Germany's pledge to spend more than $1 trillion on its military and its infrastructure over the next decade, with the goal of creating Europe's largest conventional force. Europe's arming for war, and Germany's leading the way. And everyone yawns. Listen to clip 8.
This strategy is not the cause of the disruption that Europe is facing in the world. It is a symptom of the reality of today's world. So our task at this week's summit is to show that we are focused on our own strategy and our own interests and our own priorities.
I'm sure glad I don't work at the EU Parliament. I have a pretty cool job. What I get to focus in on every morning, every afternoon, sometimes every evening. That would be very boring right there. But I would imagine just on a carnal level that when the Daniel 8 guy shows up, it's going to be a little more electrifying. But listening to the words, you see the direction, you know where they're headed. This Wall Street Journal piece just quotes several European leaders, including Merz from Germany. If Ukraine falls, he won't stop, speaking of Putin, just like the Sudetenland wasn't enough in 1938. So Putin's the new Hitler. There's no threat. There's no threat in Germany. Never, 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 never. They've embraced pacifism. Now, they only have to build an army, a war machine. But they are pacifists by nature, we're told. Putin, on the other hand, is Hitler. He's not going to stop at the Sudetenland. He's going to keep marching right into Europe. This article says that came days after NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte made a speech warning that conflict is at our door. Here's a bit from the NATO chief, clip 15.
The dark forces of oppression are on the march again. I'm here today to tell you where NATO stands and what we must do to stop a war before it starts. And to do that, we need to be crystal clear about the threat. We are Russia's next target. And we are already in harm's way. When I became NATO Secretary General last year, I warned that what is happening in Ukraine could happen to allied countries too. That we had to shift to a wartime mindset. This year we took the big decisions to make NATO stronger. At the summit in The Hague, allies agreed to invest 5% of GDP annually in defense by 2035. We agreed to increase defense production across the alliance. And we agreed to continue our support to Ukraine. But this is not the time for self-congratulation. I fear that too many are quietly complacent. Too many don't feel the urgency. And too many believe that time is on our side. It is not. The time for action is now. Allied defense spending and production must rise rapidly. Our armed forces must have what they need to keep us safe. Because this year, Russia has become even more brazen, reckless and ruthless towards NATO and towards Ukraine. During the Cold War, President Reagan warned about the aggressive impulses of an evil empire. Today, President Putin is in the empire building business again.
He's the only bad guy. Well, him and Trump. So we need a war machine. Notice he says we need to take on a wartime mindset. We're in war, in other words. We're in war right now. This article at the National Interest. Why Europe needs a war economy. You hear them talking about, okay, now it's 3.5% of GDP. It's got to be bumped up to 5%. And I gave you the other article where it says Germany's going to spend $1 trillion over the next many years to transform its war machine into something that's very modern and new. The National Interest says, for 3 years, the war in Ukraine has offered a brutal reminder of an old truth. Wars are ultimately decided by production, not promises. Ammunition, air defenses, drones, spare parts, secure energy supplies, and logistics matter far more than summit declarations or alliance rhetoric. So you're hearing the rhetoric, but listen, the facts on the ground. These industrial powerhouses in Germany, they're already outfitting all of their machines to produce weapons. In addition to cars and things of that nature, it's happening. We've discussed that on this program. The assembly lines, I mean, they're going to start churning out weapons of war. The war machine is being constructed. Germany's leading the way. It says here, together two forces, the industrial demands of Ukraine and America's redefined strategic posture. Here again, the same two talking points. Putin and Trump, okay. When you hear, we saw this in COVID, we've seen it over and again. When you hear them all say the same thing, you know there's something else going down. Now, I'm not saying there aren't leaders in Europe who aren't concerned about Putin in their heart of hearts. But as I've said, it's just a convenient excuse. It's a perfect cover for a war machine to be rebuilt in a country that just has a history of starting wars. They're building a war machine to start a war. That's the reality. A world war. And you can read about, again, many nations being drawn into it and suffering because of it, Isaiah 10 and other places. It says, Europe can no longer assume the United States will always underwrite the material foundations of its own defense. If Europe wants to remain strategically relevant, it needs to build a genuine war economy. I can't believe this is all over the place and people, you know, like I said, they just yawn and carry on. It's Christmas. Peace. I mean, Hanukkah. We've got Hanukkah too. Peace is breaking out everywhere. We've stopped so many wars. We've caused so much prosperity, so much growth. Play a clip. This is from von der Leyen as well, clip 9.
Europe's era of independence must be unstoppable. And we have more work to do. We have to go further. We must move swiftly. And that is particularly important when it comes to security and defense. The bottom line is simple. Europe must be responsible for its own security. This is not longer an option. This is a must. And we know the threats that we face and we will confront them. This means we need to be ready. We have to develop and deploy new capabilities so that we can fight a modern hybrid war. Here again, we are moving mountains. After decades of underinvestment, we are turning a corner. We're transforming our defense industrial base into one that can deliver cutting-edge technologies and fast mass production in the cauldron of war. This year, we have done more for defense than in the last decades. Over the last 10 years, we invested 8 billion euros in the defense fund. This year, we enabled up to 800 billion euros of investment till 2030.
There you go. The national interest says a war economy means something very specific, a permanent industrial posture designed for sustained military production under crisis conditions with surge capacity built in before and not after the shooting intensifies. We've got to get ready for war. I just Googled national interest. That's an outfit in D.C. It's right there. It's right there in the nation's capital, America's capital. I don't know who's behind it, who wrote it. But here they are saying, listen, Europe, you need a war economy. Go for it. Go for it. Make sure the assembly lines, all the production lines are operating as if it's under a crisis. Or we're in the midst of crisis conditions. You've got this. Never mind the history of starting wars. I buy into the fact that everyone that's saying you're pacifist by nature, I know that'll keep you in check. Your love of peace. The war machine's being constructed to start a war. That's what we have to keep coming back to. And look, we've got history on our side. We've got Bible prophecy on our side. We've got God on our side. God says it's coming. His word is sure. Politico. Friedrich Merz puts Germany in an unfamiliar position out front. Yeah, they're pacifist and they don't really feel comfortable leading. This is a joke. This is a joke. Pacifism was imposed upon them. America rebuilt the continent. And now we're on the way out and we're just basically saying, look, all the prosperity that we helped you rebuild, all the power that we gave to you, and now your work to unify the continent through a union of 10 kings rather than doing it by war as Hitler tried to do. Go ahead, build your war machine. Germany, you lead the way. And Germany, behind closed doors, they're like, this is great. This is what we've always wanted. This is what we planned when the Nazis went underground after World War II. It has America's blessing, unbelievably. It has Israel's blessing, little Judah. I've got articles later in my notes. I can't get to it. I don't have enough time. We need to make this show 2 hours. But here is Israel sending all of this military hardware to, of all nations, Germany. The beating heart of Europe. Biblical Assyria. A nation that, well, they've really fine-tuned the war-making abilities, the war-starting tendencies, the blitzkrieg mindset. It says later on, Germany tended to hang back and avoid undue risk. This is talking about Germany, you know, being in that unfamiliar position, the lead position. Germans even coined a slang verb, to Merkel, to commote dithering. Poor Angela Merkel. Merz has taken a far more active stance inside the EU. Again, Merz isn't even the Daniel Ape Man. Wait till he shows up. Germans are going to be applauding him. This is great. We've got a military machine. A new war machine. And now we've got our strong man. Politico says Berlin is now at the center of very important diplomatic talks and decisions. This is quoting Zelensky. It says here, it's very clear, it's a very active role, that Merz is playing. Germany's currently best suited to take this initiative. Further on, we are by far the biggest supporter of Ukraine at the moment. I mean, Europe's the star. German-led Europe. They are on the march. They're solving problems and they're building a war machine. Deutsche Welle, German Navy gets new submarine Hunter helicopters. Also Deutsche Welle, Bundestag set to approve 52 billion euro in military expenditure. Did I play clip 10 in the cold open? You guys would know that. I did. We can skip that. One more from Deutsche Welle. Russian President Vladimir Putin is continuing to massively upgrade his navy. He has little or no need for it in Ukraine. That means that he, as NATO and as the Federal Republic of Germany, need to equip our naval forces quickly and better. You see, when Putin builds his army, his navy, he's going to use it. But now when we build ours, we're not into using the war machine. We're pacifist. We've embraced pacifism. We're not going to start a war. Not Germany. That's not who we are. No. And the whole world buys into it. The whole world, led by America. Listen to this again from EU Parliament, clip 11.
A divided Europe is the biggest gift you can give Putin and Trump. And this council is a moment of truth after the US national security strategy, where people are saying that this is a wake-up call for Europe. A wake-up call? The wake-up call was on the 14th of February, when G.D. Vance was exactly playing out what is now in the national security strategy. So this is not a wake-up call, though not the first time. We have been woken up. How many times do we need before Europe really wakes up? The US strategy is clear. It's the same like Putin's. It wants to divide Europe. It wants to weaken Europe. It is against our liberal democracies. We need to stand up and need to fight for a European sovereignty.
I think we played that one earlier in the show. Sorry to waste 45 seconds of your life listening to an EU Parliament speech of all things. It's kind of like that Joe Rogan bit about Jesus Christ returning through artificial intelligence. That's a weird comparison, but never mind. The times of Israel. As Germany rearms, Holocaust-begotten ties with Israel take on increasing importance. This is an Israeli source. As Germany rearms, Holocaust-begotten ties with Israel takes on increasing importance. Delivery of Jerusalem's Arrow 3 missile defense system to Berlin marks historic reversal, reflecting growing relationship forged by guilt and anchored today in strategic necessity. I mean, the guilt over the Holocaust, it brought the two nations together. And now it's absolutely necessary. It's vital that we have this partnership. It says 80 years after the liberation of Auschwitz, the Jewish state is now helping defend Germany and by extension much of Europe against long-range missile threats from adversaries such as Russia and Iran. I mean, the Times of Israel, I guess I have to be honest and say I haven't read the entire piece here, but the Times of Israel is a go-to source when you're looking for news on the Middle East. It's not Haaretz or some of these left-wing rags. But you see, I mean, there's nothing to worry about here. We need this partnership. It says, more than a milestone transaction, the defense agreement encapsulates the transformation of a relationship born of genocide and moral reckoning into one increasingly defined by strategic necessity. We have to. That's the way Israel looks at it. We have to have a partner in Germany. And of course, Germany's quite happy to keep buying, you know, the Arrow 3 missile defense system. Yeah, bring it on, man. We're rebuilding a war machine up here. It says here, beyond the Arrow 3, in recent years, Berlin has purchased Israel-made Heron drones for reconnaissance and strike missions, Spike anti-tank missiles jointly produced with German partners, and the Trophy active protection system to shield its Leopard 2 tanks from anti-armor threats. That trend is only poised to grow as Germany increasingly turns to Israeli defense systems in rebuilding its military capabilities. You know, I gave you the talking points that should be there that underpin all of these stories. Germany's had a long history of starting wars. Germany is a war-making machine. That should be the headline. But then you look at the underlying narrative in all of these pieces, including in the Times of Israel. It's that Germany has repented. Has Germany repented? Can you point to one source, leader, you know, any development following World War II that would suggest that they came out and truly repented of their atrocities, their sins in World War II, the genocide, pulling the whole world into world war? They haven't repented. And yet, these are the assumptions. Germany repented. Germany embraced pacifism. Germany's reluctantly taking the lead here. Those are false narratives. That's not the truth. That's delusional. That's ignoring history. That's dismissing Bible prophecy. You subscribe to the trumpet, and again, you're going to get something totally different. You're going to get God's perspective on the news, on these developments, on these stories. I mean, there's a passing reference to the Holocaust and to genocide. But still, what an assumption to make. Yeah, they're different. They've changed. They've repented. They're pacifist by nature. It all happened, I guess, with the snap of a finger. A high-level German business delegation arrived in Israel this week, marking another milestone in the strengthening of economic ties between the two countries as they commemorate 60 years of diplomatic relations. Whoa, we're besties. We're best friends forever. Can you see where all of this is aligning perfectly with the prophetic forecast that we've given you for decades? America's on the way out, not just of Europe. They're on the way out of the Middle East. And Germany's ready to swoop in. I mean, they're swooping in already in Europe with NATO and leading the military machine. They're going to be leading the Middle East as well. They're going to be deeply involved in Middle East affairs. And what's going to provide them with the cover? What's going to cover their true intentions? Oh, we're partners with Israel. We've been that for 60 years. This is an alliance. I mean, this is a brother. Never mind World War II. Come on now. We've repented. We're pacifist. We love Israel. We love the Jews. A senior official at the Ministry of Economy said, Germany is one of Israel's most important trading partners. And this delegation underscores the mutual interest in expanding cooperation. Officials on both sides emphasize the complementary nature of the two economies. I mean, they've got so much in common. The potential on both sides is far from exhausted, and we've got more we can do. We can strengthen these ties. How does this, in what world does the Holocaust history draw Judah closer to Germany rather than make Judah a little bit skeptical of the true intentions here? I don't know about this. I mean, I've got a grandfather that went through the Holocaust. I think we better be wary. We better be careful. We better tread softly if we're going to even have any kind of a relationship. There's none of that. None of it. Now, as I said, they're best friends forever. When you see how the Bible describes Ephraim, a silly dove, a dove just flying around with, you know, peace in the wings. It's a good description of Manasseh and Judah as well. Now, at least with Judah, there's some lion-like characteristics. But even those, we're seeing some of those from this past summer disappear. There's some strength for sure in Jeroboam, particularly on domestic issues. But like my father has written, when you see how they're operating beyond America's borders, the way they're going about making peace, quote unquote, some pretty dangerous developments. And all of it, again, all of it just contributing to an acceleration of these many prophecies that we've told you about for decades, for nearly 100 years. I mean, we're coming up to the 100-year anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's conversion to the truth. That's in the fall of 1926. You heard his signature prophecy there in the cold open. And we've followed in those steps for 36 years. We recently passed our anniversary, 36 years of raising the ruins, of building God's work, as in the days of old. Satan tried to blot it out, and he very nearly did. Most of God's people, they rebelled against God. They fell away from the truth. They didn't defend the truth. They didn't fight for the truth. They didn't have the courage to boldly proclaim prophecies like in Revelation 17. Isaiah 10. They lost their courage. And my father called them out for that in Malachi's message. It takes courage to preach the truth. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4. He told Timothy, I mean, Paul's about to be executed. He told Timothy, preach the word and do it in season. I mean, when it's happening, that's all the more reason to say the sword is rising. The sword in Europe is rising. Preach the word, Paul went on to say, and this is a paraphrase, you know, the time will come when people don't want the truth. They've got itching ears. They want to just be told smooth things. They want to be told that everything's going to turn out splendidly. Peace is going to break out everywhere. No, it's actually this trumpet cover right here. September, just a few months ago, arming for World War III, and the feature article on page 4 or 5, the headline is more specific. Germany is arming for World War III. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.